Hello, welcome back to Locked On Oilers, and on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the three Oilers most likely to be traded this offseason, plus Derek Ryan's season report card, and Xavier Bourgault has been tearing it up at the Memorial Cup. We will talk about the future Oiler and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Oilers Podcast. I'm your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. On today's episode, as we mentioned, three Edmonton Oilers most likely to get traded this offseason, this summer. One of them may surprise you. Plus, Derek Ryan, his season report card, little here, little there. Not too bad of a season for Derek Ryan. So we will go over just what he did well, what he didn't do well, what he needs to work on. Kind of like how he said Jay Woodcroft really helped him throughout the season. Plus Xavier Bourgault in the show. Win again. Cataract are a win away from the Memorial Cup Finals. How has Xavier Bourgault done and helped that team get it to that point? Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. All righty, we shall start in, well, it is the offseason. I should mention it is the offseason officially. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche as they won the Stanley Cup last night. I just want to apologize to you today because, yes, this episode is coming to you a little later than it normally should, weirdly, just like last week. But as you can probably tell, my voice isn't exactly there today, so I was trying to extend it as long as I could, but this is the best I could get it in time for today's episode. So we're going to keep it short today. But yes, huge congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. Take care of it for us this year, as we'll be taking what's rightfully ours next year. Anyways, let's head on to the three Edmonton Oilers that are most likely to get moved this off season. Yes, most likely to be traded from the Edmonton Oilers. Not Brett Kulak, who may sign somewhere else. Not Evander Kane, who, you know, is the big UFA right now. No. The three players who I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to move to try and shore up some cap space, some dead weight. We'll see. The third most likely player to be traded by the Edmonton Oilers this season. Let's just get right into it. Zach Cassian. This offseason, I should say. Yes, Zach Cassian is the third most likely to be traded from the Edmonton Oilers this offseason. Now, a lot of people are like, just get him off the team. Why is he the third most likely to get sent off to another team? Well, let's be real. Zach Cassian's making a few too many dollars for a team to, you know, claim him off of another team and really use him rightfully. This past season, 58 games, 6 goals, 13 assists, 19 points. I think the other day I said he only had 3 points, so I want to apologize for that. I was completely off. I still give him an F for him for his season, but yes, 13 assists for Zach Cassian this year, 19 points, so not horrendous. So he still, I don't want to say has a scoring touch. He is a great skater still. Like, you can't take that away from Zach Cassian. He still has the beast in him, I guess. But the unfortunate thing for Zach Cassian has been the injuries. That has really pushed him back over the last couple of years. His head, I mean, if you're a guy, look at Jujhar Khaira, a guy who every time he drops the gloves, it seems like he's getting a concussion. That is not obviously a smart or healthy way to live your life and play your career. So a guy like Zach Cassian, who has had some injury issues after fights, had a jaw issue, broke his jaw this season as well. Sometimes is I believe his shoulder at one point had an injury as well. Not this season, but I believe last season. So Zach Cassian, his play style is starting to catch up to him. Still has a little bit left to give in the tank, but that $3 million, $3+ million cap for him is just a little too much. Now, the thing about Zach Kassian is, like I mentioned, a lot of teams may not want to trade for him at that price point. So if the Oilers were to trade a guy like Zach Kassian, A, it'll probably be, or it would probably be, to a team who needs some, to eat some cap. Is somebody like Arizona, you know, somebody like an Anaheim, you know, somebody who can just take in the cap, reach the floor of the cap space, I guess, and just let him play at his pay rate. Or the reason why I have him at number three is I believe the Edmonton Oilers are actually going to buy him out. Now, I know that the Oilers take on another contract. They still have James Neal and Andrei Sekera on their buyout clauses. I believe it's Sekera's last season on the buyout, however. So that'll be a nice little relief for the next season. So third most likely to be traded, Zach Kassian. The second most likely to be traded by the Edmonton Oilers is Jesse Puljujärvi. Now, this one is a little complicated, and this one is where my surprise is, I guess, a little bit here, because if Jesse Puljujärvi doesn't re-sign for the Edmonton Oilers, he will probably get sent off, just because if you're an RFA, you're still under the team obligation, or under the team, I guess, and so even if he doesn't re-sign for the Oilers, he can't go and sign somewhere else within the NHL, so he would have to basically be stagnant and not be playing hockey. So, yes, Puljujärvi doesn't want that. The Edmonton Oilers don't want that. And a lot of teams around the NHL don't want that. A lot of teams see a lot of potential out of Jesse Puljujärvi. 14 goals this year. He should have reached 20. I mean, he had a tough end of the season, truly. And he is a very strong defensive forward. A very strong defensive forward. I mean, the numbers don't lie. He was the best at goals against per 60 on the Edmonton Oilers at full strength, at 5-on-5 in any situation. Numbers don't lie. And he is one of the drivers in goals for per 60 minutes in basically any situation, and even on the power play, which he didn't get a lot of time on either. So that's where the issue kind of lies, is if the Oilers do sign him, he will stay. Or even truly, I think it really falls down to whether or not Evander Kane stays. Because if Evander Kane stays, the Edmonton Oilers have the ability to keep Ryan McLeod, Kyler Yamamoto, and Jesse Puljujärvi, and bring back Brett Kulak. So there's a little bit of push, there's a little bit of pull. So Jesse Puljujärvi, we shall see if he does, or if Evander Kane does resign, then I think that's basically the window for Jesse Puljujärvi, and he shall get his rights traded somewhere, probably around the draft. Also, the other thing too, is that scoring touch, I guess, did certainly peter out there. 16 games played in the power, or in the playoffs. I almost said in the power play. 16 games played in the playoffs. 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 points. For Jesse Puljujärvi, I almost said Kyler Yamamoto. And the number one most likely to be traded for the Edmonton Oilers is Tyson Barrie. Yes, it sounds like Tyson Barrie is all but traded already, and it's tough. I like Tyson Barrie. He really turned it on near the end of the season with his defensive play in his own end, so it's going to be tough to see him go. Obviously has the offensive upside. I mean, in 73 games played, 7 goals, 34 assists. The season before, he had 40 assists. Not bad. He led all defensemen in points. So I hear that's pretty decent, if you ask me. Plus, in the playoffs, that offensive touch kind of went away, but not noticeably, I should say. 1 goal, 4 assists, 5 points in 14 games for him. But it was the defensive play that really, really showed up out of nowhere for Tyson Barrie. Ever since Jay Woodcroft came in, Tyson Barrie became a very strong defensive defenseman, or stronger in his own end, and definitely in the playoffs. Him and Brett Kulak were probably the best defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers throughout the entire playoffs. So Tyson Barry, he has that high price point. He's basically doing what Evan Bouchard can do, but for cheaper. Plus, guys like Dmitry Samarukov might be coming up if he isn't also traded. Marcus Niemelainen is also coming up. Philip Broberg, of course, is also coming up as well. So the Edmonton Oilers have basically half of their defensive core next year coming up from Bakersfield and injuries and stuff like that this next year. So there's not going to be a lot of room for a guy like Tyson Barry. What can the Oilers get out of it? Probably assets, maybe some cap space as well. Obviously some cap space, but could you throw him in a trade for somewhere to Montreal, like a Josh Anderson or John Gibson? I don't know. We shall see. But those are my three most likely Oilers to get traded this summer. Number three, Zach Cassian. Number two, Jesse Puljujärvi. And number one, Tyson Barry, who it sounds like he's basically already out the door. All righty, we shall move into Derek Ryan and how he did this season in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partners over at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs, which unfortunately is all over. Again, a huge congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. And you can also take a look as well on BetOnline at the the Memorial Cup. It feels like the QMJHL finals after the Edmonton Oil Kings got bounced. But the Memorial Cup odds are also on BetOnline as well, so make sure you take a look there. See if our boy Xavier Bourgault has some extra lines as well. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including betting, esports, scores, and much more. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check up on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. By the way, if you didn't watch the UFC Fight Night this past weekend, holy, you missed a great card all around. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Alrighty, let's move on to Derek Ryan and take a look at how he did this season in his season report card. But first, it's our little break. It's our little hydration break. It's a beautiful Monday morning. Hopefully the sun stays, because every time I say the sun and it looks beautiful out, about 13 minutes later, it starts raining. So I apologize for that. Let's hope this stays for a little longer. But quick hydration break, as you can hear my voice really going already. So I got tea today. I have tea, not coffee. Or anything Starbucks related tea today. But Derek Ryan, I wonder what he's drinking for coffee or drinking for breakfast this morning. Is Derek Ryan brought a good old, well, kind of local boy, an Edmonton boy, as he played at the University of Alberta before he moved to the NHL. So when the Edmonton Oilers brought in Derek Ryan this past offseason, a lot of people really liked it. Everybody thought that this was basically, oh my goodness, the analytics on this guy, this is signing of the season. To which I immediately went, okay, let's pump the brakes here a little bit. Derek Ryan, solid bottom six guy, started off the season, but like he said, when he wasn't playing well and when a lot of Edmonton Oilers weren't playing well, under Dave Tippett, the Edmonton Oilers just didn't really know what they needed to adjust. So they just kept going out there and playing poorly. Obviously, you know, if you're playing poorly, you got to play better. But if you're coming into each game and the coach is coming in and going, you got to be better, it's not helping anybody. But like Derek Ryan said, once Jay Woodcroft came in and guys were having issues, he came to you individually and said, this is what you need to work on. This is what you need to work on. This is what you need to do less of. And then, like Derek Ryan said, oh, now I'm in the lineup every game. Now I know what I'm doing right, what I need to do right, what I'm doing wrong, what I know what I shouldn't be doing. And then you have Jay Woodcroft say about Derek Ryan in the playoffs that he's our Swiss Army knife. Not everybody is going to be Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. You need guys who are going to be strong in your own end, who are strong in the face-off dot, strong in the corners. You need guys who just do it all. That is why this is kind of off topic, but that is why you don't see a lot of just big enforcers anymore, because you cannot have a guy out there or in your lineup who can't do something else, who all they can do is just fight, be tough, and just be physical. You can't have that in today's NHL. You need a guy who can be physical and kill penalties and work on the power play and move the puck. You know, there's not a lot of just one type of guy in the NHL anymore. And to go back to Derek Ryan, he's one of those Swiss Army knives left in the NHL. Now, when you take a look at the advanced statistics, and I'm going to go into the goals for and goals against for Derek Ryan, or per 60 minutes for Derek Ryan, and they aren't great. I'll be real with you. But that's not what Derek Ryan was brought in for. And taking a look at the goals for per 60 and the goals against per 60, in all situations, he was at a 2.38 goals for, which was 20th on the team. Not fantastic. In all situations at goals against per 60 minutes, it was a 4.3, which was fourth last on the team. Not fantastic. So we're not off to a great start there. At 5-on-5, he was 2.78 goals for per 60 minutes, which was 11th on the team. So pretty, again, he's not necessarily a guy who's going to be playing all the minutes on the penalty kill, and he's certainly not going to be playing on the power play with the team the Oilers have. So that 5-on-5 is pretty important for a guy like Derek Ryan, because that is when he's going to be deployed the most, when guys like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl need a rest. You need a, just a hard-nosed, strong shift. Derek Ryan with basically a middle of the pack, just underneath the middle of the pack, four goals, four per 60 minutes, not too bad at 11th on the team. But goals against per 60, he was a 3.08 goals against per 60, which was 25th on the team. I think the only guys lower were like Devin Shore and like Colton Sevier. I think I saw Brad Malone down there too. So not necessarily a bunch of guys who are there working every game and being consistent, where Derek Ryan played 75 games. So not necessarily the best numbers there. And on the penalty kill, this is the unfortunate number, it seems like. 11 goals against per 60, which was fourth last on the team and 14th worst in the league. Those aren't great. The Edmonton Oilers had a decent penalty kill. They were stronger near the end. But an 11 goals against per 60, the 14th worst in the league. Not exactly a guy I'm confident putting out on the ice in times where you can't concede a goal. But he's not a guy who's going to be going out there and getting a goal for you. So not exactly a guy you want out there, really. But that doesn't mean he hasn't been effective. In the faceoff dot, and that was where everybody was super pumped to get Derek Ryan, because, yes, he has been terrific throughout his career in the faceoff dot. This season, he went 55.86% in the faceoff dot, which was his highest in his career since 2018-2019, where he had 58.2. Pretty impressive. However, down the stretch, Derek Ryan wasn't even playing center. Derek Ryan was playing wing. Sometimes he'd come in for the odd faceoff. But like Brendan Escott said in our last episode, a guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who wasn't really doing too well in the faceoff dot in his own end down the stretch, that causes an issue. But Derek Ryan, who was 55% this year in the faceoff dot, doesn't get a chance, really. So if he's not going to be taking the faceoffs or trusted for the faceoffs, and if he's on the wing and not really doing much on the wing when he's on the ice, What's the point? In 75 games played, 10 goals, 12 assists, 22 points. So pretty decent numbers. He was the 10th Oiler to get to 10 goals this past season. So pretty impressive. In the playoffs, 15 games played, 1 goal, 2 assists, 3 points. Yeah, what you basically expect as well. So a decent season from Derek Ryan, all told. You wish you got a little bit more in regards to the statistical outputs, I guess, like the goals against per 60 minutes, especially on the penalty kill, especially in his own end where he's going to be played most of. Nice goals for per 60 at 5-on-5, so that is a positive, not only for the Oilers if they do keep Derek Ryan, but maybe for another team as well if they do want to poach a guy like Derek Ryan. Not going to say no if it's at the right price. So Derek Ryan, his season report card, his final grade for this season is a C+. Not bad, not bad. As I always said in my academic career, C's get degrees, baby. Big C's guy. All righty, let's move on to Xavier Borgo, as he has had a fantastic couple of months, really, for the Shawinigan Cataract, and a lot of Edmonton Oilers fans are taking a look at him going, okay, I see you. And plus a lot of fans as well have taken a look at what Xavier Borgo has done, and especially over these playoffs, and just went, Let's not trade this guy. Let's not trade this guy. First, I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Oilers and making it your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast, plus Locked On NHL as well. Covers the playoffs like no other. What a great job done by them over these past playoffs, really. And now that the playoffs are done, just want to give a huge applause to them over there. Alrighty. Xavier Borgo, what a season he has had. I don't want to call it a coming out season, because last season he really excelled and obviously got to the first round and selected by the Edmonton Oilers in that first round. Now, in these Memorial Cup playoffs, he is tied for the points lead with 6 in the Memorial Cup, tied with William Dufour from the St. John Sea Dogs. Maverick Bourque, his line mate and teammate, who a lot of people have gone, oh, well, if he can't do it with Maverick Bourque, can he do it at all? Well, there were times when Maverick Bourque has been bumped off his line, and guess who's driving the rest of the team offensively? Still Xavier Borgo. He has looked fantastic everywhere. He just finds ice. Plus, as well, Logan Morrison from the Hamilton Bulldogs also tied with 6 points in the Memorial Cup. The thing about Xavier Borgo that's really impressive, like we just mentioned with Maverick Bourque, is that he can be taken off that line with his teammate that he has so much success and rapport with, and just go out there and be just as dominant. Go out there and win puck battles. Go out there and find open ice. Get a clean shot on goal. Terrific shot on goal. I think he has 13 shots on goal so far this Memorial Cup. And the points just keep. His vision is fantastic. He can find his teammates all over the ice. He's got a little bit of bite to him as well. In 3 games played, 2 goals, 4 assists for those 6 points as well. And him and his Shawinigan Cataract play tonight against the Hamilton Bulldogs to see who goes on to play the St. John Sea Dogs in the Memorial Cup final. If you haven't watched any of the Memorial Cup yet, these last 2 games, please make it a mission for you to watch these 2 last games, because they have been fantastic. I just want to say sorry to the Edmonton Oil Kings. Shout out to the Edmonton Oil Kings as well for a fantastic season. Just a fantastic season. I think they were robbed of this opportunity, but it's a little reminiscent of that 2012 Edmonton Oil Kings team as well. So maybe it seems like those Oil Kings aren't done yet, but huge shout out to the Oil Kings. Fantastic season. I'm sorry I jinxed it saying you guys would win on Wednesday. I apologize. That night, the Edmonton Oil Kings went on to get eliminated from the Memorial Cup. So, again, apologize for that. But The Memorial Cup, one of my favorite traditions and my favorite tournaments of all of them. And they're going to end after the Stanley Cup Finals. Is yes, the Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. Huge congratulations to them as well. I just want to say huge congratulations to Chris and Kyle over at Locked On Avalanche. So if you haven't yet, make sure you head over to Locked On Avalanche today and give them a huge congratulations from us Oilers fans and tell them to take care of it for us. I know they already dented it. Thanks, Abbé Kubel. Thank you. We'll have to buff that out for you next season, but we'll take better care of it next year. No, I'm just kidding. Alrighty, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful Monday. Almost said weekend. Unfortunately, we still got a bunch of days until Friday. Until it's Friday again, but that's all right. I hope you have a wonderful Monday. I hope you have a wonderful week. Stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.